So I'm going to share. 2006 was where I really saw something amongst the New Covenant group of churches that I felt, man, this is real. I'd come out of a background of church where I was leading worship in front of 5,000 people every Sunday. And people, you know, like they want to have supper with you. And I just I came here, took over the church, the CRC church in Cape Town. I was like, And then God said to me supernaturally, he says, John, take your title away. Stop wearing a suit. Yeah, I was wearing a suit. And he said, the culture in Cape Town is different. Get with the program. That's literally what God said. And then I meet up with the New Covenant guys, and they're all like wearing slops. They preach in shorts. And I'm like, man, this is wonderful. Can I tell you why, folks? It's easy to fill a building. It's easy to fill a building. But I'm going to show you now. Paul writes, and he says, you know how I lived among you. Not, you know how I preached. You know how many salvations. You know how many healings. No, no, no. You know how I lived. And so today, I'm going to share a little bit about sharing our lives and our brides. Huh? I thought that was a good title. I think I should just patent that. Write a book. Like, you got that? Okay, to ask the person next to you, how's your bride? Does it come with sly? All right. And I'm going to show you, I'm going to show you in 20, 25, 30 minutes, I'm going to show you how massively important food and fellowship is. All right. And actually, this is something we're always going to be spinning this plate. All right. Now, I want to start off this. If you're saying, yeah, well, John, you don't know, I'm actually a very private person. Okay, that's fine. Listen to this. Remember Clive, my friend, Clive Goodwill. So when I was in CRC, he was one of the best keyboard and pianists at the time, and he gets saved in Hillbrow. But he gets saved, and he's all shy and withdrawn amongst this incredible gift that he has. The pastor says to him immediately, Clive, won't you please greet the people at the door as they come in every Sunday? So he's like, okay. So he does it, starts greeting. Hello, welcome. Okay, now we don't do that because we just greet everyone. You don't have to be at the door, but we're going to greet you in any case, all right? Anyway, at that church, within 2 weeks, he starts getting invites of people saying, would you come have a meal with us? Come and have a coffee with us. Guess who was the most popular person 2 years down the line in the church? Clive. But he needed to be nudged. Good. Tell the person next to you, remember Clive. Tell them. And if you, as you have Afrikaans, onthou vir Clive. Okay? All right, got that. Remember Clive. If he can do it, anyone can. Now, last week, Warren started sharing on values. Not that we haven't heard values before, but as an eldership team, we're feeling like this is like a building season. And I'm going to ask you prayerfully, take what we're feeling God saying and do it. All right? You know why? We take this seriously. If you know our Tuesday night elders meetings and our prayer meetings, we're like, Lord, we want every single one to experience you. We want every single one to feel family. Are you with me? Okay. And this morning, I'm going to nudge you a little bit in this area. Okay. All right. Let's go to the first one. Back in the early years of Josh Jen, it's not there. Back in the early years of Josh Jen, as Josh Jen started growing, they started introducing this mantra. And it goes like this. When people became members, they would stand in the front and, oh, I feel so accepted, I'm part of the family. And then people would pray for them, the new members. And then there would be this thing where the saints would say, from now on, what's in our fridge is yours, and what's in your fridge is mine. Okay, what's in my fridge is yours. Yeah, and it's a crazy moment. We've seen people in tears just swept into family. But I want to say it's never going to change, and we will always be spinning this plate. What's in your fridge is mine, and what's in my fridge is yours. Now, I've only got a double-door fridge, but some of you, I've checked, some of you have got a big fridge. I can't wait for you to invite me. All right? And this thing of relationships and friendship, it's probably one of the biggest values in Josh Jen. It is one of the things that makes us different. I think our worship is vibrant and it's messy, but it's wonderful.
I want it messy. I think Jesus was pretty messy in his ministry because it never looked the same, and it was unreligious, and it was unpredictable. You with me? And so we're not going to always keep things orderly and in fashion. I gave the elders my notes. My notes might look like that, but inside of me, I'm like, God, do what you want to do. All right? Does that make sense? Okay. So with friendships, here's a few things. Friendships enable us to speak into each other's lives. When you build a friendship, you can start to speak into someone's life. We call that building a bridge. Okay? Friendships help us to disciple each other. So one of the first things I felt coming into the New Covenant group of churches, yeah, Rigby is inviting me to golf. And I'm like, dude, I need to sit with you and talk about my church. I don't want to play golf. He says, John, just come play golf. I was like, okay. And there we are on the course. Yeah, God does love golfers, not just surfers. Okay? And on the course, we're talking life and we're talking church. And he's discipling me while we're playing golf. I drive home. Krista says, how was your golf? Oh, by the way, she's so sick, she wanted to be here. Krista says, how was your golf? I said, honey, it was amazing. How did you play? I said, terrible. She's like, what? I said, no, the fellowship was really what it was all about. And I want to tell you something. We gotta treasure this. This is special. What we have in this church is special. And if you haven't experienced it, you're about to experience it. And if you want to experience it, you're going to experience it even more. All right? Because I'm going to give you some homework. Okay? Friendships cause us to be accountable. Easy to be in a crowd. I've been in a big church. You sit, you watch, you blend in. We don't ever want to be there. And you'll notice, none of the Josh Jane churches are bigger than 200. Very few, actually. Why? Because we want each one to count. We don't want people to blend in. And one of the ways is by being accountable. And to be accountable, you need friendships. We need lots of golf, lots of surfboards, lots of coffee, lots of braai, pannekoek, lots of shopping. And for the people who aren't well off, I just want to say this, and I say this with respect and with a sincere heart. Soup. Have soup. Melanie tells me, we all know who Melanie is. She says, me and John, in the early church, in the early days of Josh Jane, all I could afford was soup. So when I invited people, they knew what they were going to have, soup. And they would have soup. And then, you know, Melanie is, she's ready to pray for anything that moves. And the first person visited the church on the Sunday, and they're in her home on the Thursday getting prophetic words. By Sunday, they're baptized, and they're in. It's like, but they knew they were getting soup. Are you with me? Use what you have. Use what you have. David had 5 stones. Use what you have. Got it? Yeah? With friendships, that's where you will experience love and support. So someone said to me, yeah, but John, it's so hard. I said, no. No, no, no. The Bible says, show yourself friendly and you will have friends. You need to take that first step. Yeah, but John, it's so hard. No. Just do it. Nike was right. Just do it, okay? So there's two things here. Either you're inviting people over or you're saying, can I please come over? And both are important. John, I'd like to invite myself. Fantastic. Let's get your diary out. You with me? Don't sit waiting. Oh, nobody's inviting me. Pick up the phone. 08-330-55-441. Hi, John. How's your diary? I heard you make great curry. We're having curry today with Jock and Elna. Vasyala. Okay. Vasyala. Kids church. Don't tell them, but it's going to be hot. Okay. Push in. Make that phone call. Don't sit back saying nobody, nobody. You ask, say, John, I'd love to have your coffee. I make a good coffee, by the way. Phone. Say, John, how's your water? I'd like to come and taste your water, please. My wife loves Earl Grey tea. And we bought our home many years ago with the idea of having people, and by God's grace, we do. But phone. There's nothing wrong with asking someone, saying, can I please have a meal with you? There's two ways. Never sit back. If you're sitting back, your attitude is wrong. You're family. John, let's braai. Lekker, bro. What do you eat? Lamb? Uribos, whatever, all right? With friendships, it makes your life interesting. I want to challenge you. We always gravitate to the people we like or the people with similar interests. Find people who are not like you. And I'll tell you what, they'll probably become one of your best friends. Okay? We judge so easily. You never know who you're having over for coffee. Friendships add value to your life. Okay, first scripture. Are we on there? All right. First scripture, Hebrews chapter 10. Just go to that first slide. I want everyone to see it. There we go. You're welcome to take. No, go back. First slide. Oh, golly. There we go. No, go back. There we go. No. Okay. Go to Hebrews. That's a sign. What's in your fridge? What's in my fridge is yours, and what's in your fridge is mine. And I've had young people come, and my wife, I've had to tell her, honey, relax, it's okay. They walk in, and they go straight to the fridge. Hey, John, how's it going? Can I make coffee? Yeah. And she's like, because she's Afrikaans, and in the Afrikaans culture, you bet yes must know what dent look, you know. And I'm English. I'm from Durban. I'm like, I just want people in my home. I want them to have as much coffee and braai and curry as they want. All right, my friend Raj, he taught me good curry. All right. Hebrews 10, verse 24 and 25. If it's on the screen, then you don't have to look you don't have to turn in your Bibles. Let us consider. That's quite an interesting word. It's almost like contemplate. It's almost like you're sitting back and saying, I wonder how I should do that. Okay? Let us consider how to stir up one another. Right there, we can just pause and like, okay, how are we gonna stir up one another? We'll make lists just on that. All right? To love and good works. So you sitting there right now, ask yourself, I want to consider, how am I going to stir up others to love and good works? Think about that right now. You're saying, but John, that's weird. I say, this is the gospel. Because it's not about you. It's about others. We're a family. All right? And if it's about you, that's fine. But there will come a point where we will say, right, Brew, you've had enough of my coffee. Time for you to open up your fridge and your kitchen to someone new. Okay? This is unselfish. Unselfishchristianity.com. All right? Then it says, not neglecting to meet together. Now listen to this. As is the habit of some. I saw that in the week and I'm like, I've never seen that some. It just crept in there somewhere. And I'm like, Lord, what would it look like if this passage could be rewritten? Watch this. Not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of all. Man, Lord Jesus, we want that. Okay? How many of you want, like, you want every single member actively involved in church life? That's what we want. May we, with respect, be able to rewrite that to be all. Okay, let's look at the early church. I'm going to look at the early church, the life of Jesus, the life of Paul, then we're done. Early church, one scripture. In Acts 2, verse 46, it says, day by day, attending two places, the temple, together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Listen to what the New Living Translation says. It says, they worshiped together at the temple every day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Now, when you have someone over, please don't stress. I've had to tell my wife to calm down many times. I said, honey, I promise you it'll be all right. Yeah, but everything, I said, honey, that's all is okay here. It's like, below you. Yeah, but we need to, I said, honey, okay, we live here. If they see stuff lying around, we live here. Thank you. There's not going to be spick and span. Now, Jock and Elna, you know, our home is tidy because I did tidy the deck yesterday. And are you with me? Please don't perform. We don't need to perform. If I come into your home, I respect your space. Everything doesn't have to be spick and span. Alice would need more raffies and the best cutlery. Don't put the best cutlery out. Just put your normal cutlery out. By the way, I hate a teacup. Please don't give me tea in a teacup. Give me a mug. Even in the coffee shops, I ask the waiters for mugs with my tea. It's like, huh?
They just give me a mug brew. Teacups are full. No, I won't say. Okay.
Very naughty. Okay.
Are you with me, guys? You don't have to perform. Hey, Baron, come over. Leanne, come over for a meal. Hey, Baron, Dylan, come over for coffee. Why coffee? Well, you've got no more food left, but that's fine. You've got coffee. Ah, we've had that before. This is pretty, you're welcome to come over. It's the end of the month. I've got nothing but come for coffee. Yeah, okay, lekker. We had coffee and toast. And I was open about it, and it broke something. You don't have to perform. You with me? Meals are so important, people. There's something that happens in a meal. Let me tell you why. Here's a quick walk around with this. Having a meal in the Bible times meant something very, very deep. Now, those of you who don't know, I've been studying the scriptures for many years. Bible scholars say the following about meals, just meals, not communion, meals in the early church. Listen to this. You guys are going to jump up and down and rave. Julle mense wat graag wil host, you're going to be very happy at this fact. Listen to this. In the early church, it was the single biggest activity in the church. There was more eating and drinking properly. Not what you think. Than anything else. It's like, wow, John. No, that's what Bible scholars say. It's like, okay, John, you're challenging me now. Good. Because we're going to, I can't wait to taste your coffee. And don't feel pressure. If it's Frisco, that's also fine. Okay? What they said about the early church was this. They called the meal the agape or the agape meal. And it became so iconic. People would hear about meals and be jealous. True. Early church. There was love. There's acceptance. Okay? It was the norm. It was part of their lives. Okay? Right. I'm going to move on to the next one because time's catching up on me. Let's have a look at Paul's life. Paul had many strong friendships and individuals. In Acts 20, verse 18, it says, "And when they came to him, he said to them, 'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia.'" Now, that's a massive statement. "You know how I lived amongst you." I want to say, do people know how you live? Does your home group leader know how you live? Leaders, do your home group members know how you live? Visitors, we'd love to see how you live. And it will start by you first coming to us. Are you with me? Something happens. There's something beautiful that happens. It's like an exchange. I've been asked to give some testimonies. I got so many. I remember once ministering to a guy who was totally backslidden and just started coming back to church, but he hadn't taken that step of actually saying, "God, I surrender." So God is busy working in his heart. And I said, "Bro, come over for braai. We're going to watch the rugby and we'll have a braai." He was feeling so condemned. At first he said no. I said, "Dude, I know what you're going through. Please come chill." "Yeah, but John, I'm still drinking." I said, "That's fine. I'll have a drink with you." "Oh." I had half a glass of wine while he had his beer. Okay, watch this. He walked away from that braai and that meal saying, "John, I've never felt so loved at such a low point in my life." And it kick-started his journey. And guess what? He's one of the elders in Josh Gen today. You never know. Just opening your home. You never know. Okay? Now, it doesn't all have to be heavy. Sometimes it's just good to laugh. I enjoy a good laugh and a good chat. But you never know what people are going through. We've had people over in our home. We just say, "Hey, come drink our coffee." We use Sundays a lot for that. And before you know it, they start unpacking, and then you realize they're going through some stuff that you never knew. You know what meals do? It disarms you, and it makes people feel comfortable. And the longer the time goes, the more at ease people feel. And if God leads you, pray for the people. Pray for that person right at the end. All while I'm watching rugby, shouting at the ref, turning the chops, I'm listening to the Spirit of God.
looking, listening, shh, okay? And you one word in season can change a life. You never know, all right? So Paul had this. Listen to this. In one chapter, Romans 16, I read right at the end. It says, greet this one. I'm going to read some of the names. And by the way, if you're pregnant, here are some names for your children. He greets the following people at the end of Romans 16. Priscilla and Aquila. Epianetus. Mary. Andronicus. And Junia. Ampliatus. Urbanus. Statius. Apelles. And it carries on. He greets 26 people by name. And he tells them, greet my fellow laborer, this one and that one. Why? Because he had relationships with them. And if he had relationships, I can promise you now, they must have had lamb chops and bread, and they must have had some plenty meals together. Now listen to this. Did you know, Paul, he mentions, have you ever read, I remember as a new Christian, reading right at the end of certain books, where there's this, Paul, greet this one and tell that one. I say, how's it? And tune that one. I say, like, why? It's telling us that we are all co-laborers in his vineyard. They're important. Paul had 80 to 90 co-workers with him. That's a lot of people. 41 itinerant colleagues that he saw as partners. 15 of them were close. But there was 10 that were very, very close to him, who worked with him for between 14 and 25 years. Did you know that? Okay. So next time you read those names, don't just skip over it. Think about it. Now let's look at Jesus. How am I doing for time? All right. Let's look at Jesus. I'm not going to go through scriptures, but there's a whole... In Luke 5, Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners, and at the home of Levi. Folks, you don't need to understand, tax collectors were the most unliked, disliked, hated people. And some of them got saved. All right? In Luke 7, Jesus eats at the home of Simon the Pharisee during a meal. In Luke 9, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Jesus ate dinner at Matthew's house. Many tax collectors and others had bad reputations, came and ate with him and his followers. He ate together with the household of Mary and Martha. Jesus, on the beach with his disciples, he bribed fish. Yes. See, so bribing is in the Bible. When Jesus chose his disciples, there's actually one little phrase in the one book. It says, and he chose 12, listen to this, that they might be with him. I was like, look, Jesus, that sounds like our church. We want to be with each other, man. Because we are family. Come on. I got all my sisters and me. Come on. Yeah. Aunts as family. It doesn't quite ring the same, but the meaning is there. Are you with me, guys? Think about it. He chose 12 that they might be with him. When you live with Jesus for 3 years, I can't say that now. If we were at a men's camp, I would say something. You're going to see everything of each other. The good, the bad, the ugly, the funny. Now, I think Jesus was incredibly funny. You see, remember that phrase when the Bible says, Jesus says, how long must I be with you? You have a little faith. I don't think Jesus was saying, how long must I be with you? You have little faith. I think he was like, dude, what's wrong with you, bud? And all the disciples are like, yeah, he doesn't get it yet. How long must I, yeah, are you with me? And you spend time with someone, you see everything about them. And that's what Jesus was about. They ate together. They drank together. They slept, not like in sleeping together, the sinful term, but they slept under the same roof with all the sounds and... You know what I'm saying now. Hey, nice one, Jesus. Yeah, liquor, thanks. I don't know, maybe. You see, we just got to think realistically. Jesus ate with people. He wanted to eat with people. It's beautiful. All right. Then, lastly, not lastly, Jesus loved food. I'm going to show you, some of you are amening to that. There's a scripture in Matthew 11:19, Jesus speaking, telling them what people are saying about him. He says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking. He's mocking what others are saying about him. He's saying, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Three things that people saw in him. He spent time with tax collectors and sinners, which you don't do in those days. But he did. You see, he went against the grain. He did what people think, no, you mustn't do that. He did. And they accused him of being a drunkard and a glutton. I'm saying, Lord Jesus, I'm in good company. How many of you enjoy a good meal? All right, the rest of you are all lying. Let me ask that again. How many of you enjoy a good meal? Yeah. Okay. What if someone says, yo, you know those people in Josh Chen, Clifford and Christy, al wat hulle kan doen is net eet. En as jy weer sien, ja, en as jy weer sien, as daar nuwe mense by hulle, en op woensdaande, hulle begin sommer met eet. Yeah, they're doing something right then. That's what they said about Jesus. They called him a glutton. When you're a glutton, you love food. Folks, that's how Jesus, my glutton. Are you with me? So we've got to just look at scripture and say, okay, wait a minute. Jesus loved food. They accused him of being a drunkard. You know why? He went to the places sinners were. The Bible says not a drop of alcohol touched his lips, but he would fellowship with them and be a friend of sinners. I'm like, Jesus, may they say that one day of John. Forget about everything else. Just a friend of sinners, that's good enough. Because that's what sinners need. They just need love and acceptance. Okay, got it? We're coming in for a landing. Next one. Two scriptures. And Cliff stole my thunder at the prayer meeting. You've got my scripture that I was going to quote. We asked Cliff and Christy just to help us with a prayer meeting before the time. And he quoted the scripture. Let each of you, in Philippians 2, look out not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. I've got it in my notes. I wasn't going to say anything. God is speaking here. Listen to me now. I want you for a moment, not look at me, just look around you. Don't look at me, look around you. Who of the people next to you, in front of you, behind you, have you not had a meal with or you've not had coffee with? Look, please look, because there's lots. I know. Please look. Think about it. Listen properly. Okay? You get the picture. Okay? And it doesn't have to be this expensive, lavish meal. Rob and I, we have coffee at Doodles. How cool is that? We just have coffee. The waiter keeps, are you ready to order? No, we're just having coffee. Are you ready to order? No, we're just having coffee. And we've got the sea, and we talk about the waves, because he's a surfer, and we chat, and we talk about the prophetic things, okay? Harbil and I, we're meeting every Tuesday morning, different places. Are you with me? It takes effort. It takes effort. Now, I'm asking you, think beyond yourself and say, whose coffee am I going to drink? I want to taste your coffee, buddy. Okay? Jesus loved food. They accused Jesus of being a drunkard. I'm not saying may they say the same thing of us, but may they say, yo, dai mense, ala kandaran kayer yong. And when I mean kayer, not with alcohol, I mean like really good fellowship. Okay, are you ready? Last poem that I've put together for you guys. We're coming into 30 minutes. I wrote this myself. You can listen. It's not there. I don't think it's there. Okay. And then we're going to pray for you. And watch this. I want us all to pray, because you know why? None of us are there yet. And you're going to do two things. You're going to phone people, say, I want to come and have a meal with you, or I want to drink coffee with you somewhere, or you're going to invite people to drink your coffee and have your meal. Is it a deal? Let's do it, guys. It's a value. All right, my last poem. It's called Come On Church. I wrote this myself. I love art and I love poetry and I love music. Some of the music you might not like, but anyway. Okay. If you come to my home, I've got 3 sets of speakers all throughout the house and the deck. So get ready. Anyway. Okay. By the way, please phone me. You want my number? It's 0833055441. You are welcome. Phone me. Have my coffee. Eat my food. And when you come in, go straight to the fridge. Okay? Got it? Come on, church. Let's flop a chop. Let's poiki. Let's do soup for the group. Let's chicken a la king. Let's penne pasta. Let's cake and let's bake. Let's braai with some vruchteslaai. Let's do chips with an ultra cool dip. Let's brekkie and coffee. Let's do burri rolls and let's do hot dog rolls. Let's pap and sauce, let's fondue. And more than just us two. Because if two is a company and 3 is a crowd, then 4 is just a little shy of a home that's loud. Let's chill, let's chat. Let's chow, but let's not get fat. If those of you know I run, we could just chow and then go running. Okay. And then, where we go. Let's just hang, because sometimes it's good. Let's love, let's laugh, let's live. And for the ladies, if tea can't sort it out, then nothing else will. Because as long as there's tea and coffee in our church, we can surely be friends. Let's all stand. Yes. So, this is why we have elders. This is reminding me of one or two of the guys felt this. While I shared what I shared, there were a few names that came into your heart. Okay? Do something. Act upon that. Make the call. Send the WhatsApp. Remember, it doesn't have to cost you much. But I really feel like, man, there are some of us are doing this well, but some of us need to really go and just obey God's word in this area. Open your home. Give your time. Okay? Am I right? Some of you got some names of people you're inviting. And please don't invite your normal friends. Make the circle bigger. Add someone into your circle of friends that should be there. You'll be surprised how many people you think are popular, but they actually never get invited. And I'm going to say this once, and I'm never going to say it again. You'll be surprised how many elders don't get invited for a meal. It's about time we bless Barrent and Leanne properly. And other leaders. I'm just singling them out because I know certain things. Yeah, but they're fine. No, no, no. Have coffee. And the new people. If you're new, please don't sit back and say, no one's invited me yet. 0833055441. Invite yourself. I'm serious, because sometimes we're not robots. We don't know everything. Invite yourself. Okay? Is that all right? Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank you for this powerful word. Your church, your kingdom is strangely built on food and fellowship. We don't always understand this. But what we do know today is that there's a beautiful exchange that happens across dining rooms, across coffee shop tables, in people's homes, as we eat each other's food and drink each other's coffee or have soup or whatever it is, Lord. I want to ask for all of us, starting with myself, that you would give us the grace to do this. Give us grace to include new people into our circle of friends. For us that have been saved for a while, never let it become old hat, Lord. The beautiful gift of fellowship and food together. I pray for those that have been hurt in this area, even those that have felt neglected. I want to ask you, release that and take the first step. Okay, if that's you, release it. Yeah, but John, I've been in the church many years. No one's ever. No. Release it. Start anew. Today's a new day. Bible says God's mercies are new every day. All right? Okay, close your eyes. Thank you, Jesus. I really feel like there's a shift happening in the hearts. It's a beautiful thing. Give us open hearts, Lord. We just want to open our hearts to as many people as possible, Lord. We never want to have closed doors. We want to have a front door that's wide open. We want to have a kettle that's always on, Lord. Jesus, come and help us to have genuine food and fellowship and fun with one another like never before.